Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast today. On yesterday's broadcast, I began sharing a message I've entitled A Better Covenant, referring to the New Covenant. And while that is a term we may be very familiar with and hear a great deal, so often the things, the terminology, the words that we hear so frequently have a tendency to lose significance and meaning unless we take time to fully examine what that in fact does mean. And so, as I shared on yesterday's broadcast, a covenant is a formal, solemn, binding agreement. It's a written agreement between two parties, especially for the performance of some action. Now, the Hebrew word used to describe covenant means to cut or to divide, and it is enacted by the shedding of blood and by two persons walking through two pieces of flesh. And just so we can understand and have a biblical narration of when this occurred with the father of our faith, who we have named Abraham, or who is named Abraham, I'd like to just take a look at what occurred in the 15th chapter of Genesis. Now, in the 12th chapter, basically, his father had moved out of the Ur of Chaldees, and Terah, it says, took Abram his son and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's sons, and their wives. They went forth from the Ur of Chaldees, and then they settled in Haran, and that's where Terah died. And at that point, God spoke to Abraham, and he said, get thee out of this country, and I will take you to a land that I will show thee. And he begins to make promises to him. But before chapter 15 comes up, we see there was a famine in Egypt, so Abraham went down there, and then there was the abduction of Lot and all of his goods, because after they had multiplied, Lot chose to go to the valley, the fertile valley, which contained Sodom and Gomorrah, and then the five kings came against them. They abducted Lot, and they took all of his goods. And of course, that's when Abraham heard of that. He took 300 men, and they went after, and they were victorious. They retrieved Lot and all that he possessed. And that's where the first mention of Melchizedek comes in the Bible. And after all these things had transpired, then we come to chapter 15, in verse 1, where the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing that I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus? And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And then, of course, the Lord goes on to say, no, it's going to be one that comes out of your own loins, your own natural child. And he took him to look toward the heavens, and he said, that's how many your seed will be, your descendants. And God then says something. He said, I am the Lord that brought thee out of the Ur of the Chaldees to give this land to inherit it. And then it's very interesting. Abraham asked for some proof positive. He said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And this is where the covenant that God made between Abram and him, and he, God himself, and he says in verse 9, take me a heifer of 3 years old, a she-goat of 3 years old, a ram of 3 years, a turtle dove, a young pigeon, And Abram, of course, took all those, divided them in the midst, in other words, split them in two, laid each piece one against another, but the birds he divided not. And then it said, verse 12, when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. And in that deep sleep, God said to him, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. God actually begins to describe prophetically what is going to happen to his heirs. He talks about Egyptian bondage. He says that he will judge the nation that they serve. And he says, you will go to your fathers in great peace. And he said, in the fourth generation, they will come again. And in verse 17, it says, it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, the presence of God came, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. Remember, that's what I shared, what that Hebrew word to cut or divide. And it was symbolized by the shedding of blood and by two persons walking through two pieces of flesh. So God himself was giving a firm answer to Abraham when he said, how I know this is true, that I'm really going to inherit it. This is what God did. And it says in verse 18, in the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. And so God has never disannulled that covenant. And so God fully intends that that one day will be fulfilled in its the fullness of its breadth to the people of Israel. And to me, I think one of the most beautiful things that we will see accomplished in the millennial kingdom is God will literally fulfill all the promises he made to Israel, and they shall be the head of the nation, if you will, and all those wonderful things that God promised them. He will demonstrate that he is a faithful, promise, covenant-keeping God. Praise the Lord. And so a covenant is a solemn oath which seals all relationships between individuals, communities, and nations. Abram was familiar with the principle of covenant, and there were promises of blessing for obedience and curses or death by violation or disobedience. This, of course, was talking to that cultural practice that was prevalent at that time. And so, to summarize, we can say that a blood covenant is the closest, it's the most enduring, it's the most solemn and sacred of all contracts. Once made, it cannot be broken. And if we understood the significance of covenant, we would not take marriage lightly, or we also wouldn't slander one another, because we are covenant brothers and sisters through the shed blood of Jesus. And so cutting a covenant, if you will, which we did when we accepted Jesus, we're accepting that shed covenant blood that he shed for us. Remember at the Last Supper, Jesus said, this is the new covenant. When he took the cup of wine, he said, this is the new covenant that I make in my blood. He was talking covenant terminology. And so cutting covenant with God not only allows us to be born again, to have the assurance of salvation, but it empowers us for prosperity. Deuteronomy 8 and 18 says, for it is he that giveth us power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant with us. Praise God. And so what I'd like to begin to do are to share the 9 historical steps, if you will, to establishing a covenant. And it's a beautiful thing when you realize what a serious and decorum was involved in actually making a covenant. The first thing that was done was an exchange of robes. And of course, when we think of spiritual terms, God took off our filthy garments of sin, and he robed us with a robe of righteousness, that righteousness, of course, which is that of Jesus. But In the natural, there was an exchange of robes. The two parties removed their long robes and coats and exchanged them. And of course, in that cultural time, the robe was a symbol of authority. And so in the exchanging of the robe, as we do that, as we relinquish the garments of sin and iniquity in our former life, we're pledging all of ourselves, our total being, our flesh, our life to the Lord. And in the same way, Jesus laid down his mantle of authority in heaven, the glory that he was clothed with, if you will, and he came down to earth to exchange our robes that were tainted with sin for the robe of righteousness. Jesus stood in our place. Everything he did for our benefit. And of course, we are the righteousness of God in Christ. You know, I was thinking there's another passage in 1 Samuel, the 18th chapter, which describes the covenant. It was a covenant. It wasn't mentioned as such. But that's what Jonathan did with David. He said he loved him as his own heart. And he exchanged his robe and his sword. And he was by those, it wasn't just that he was being generous, there was a symbolic act in coming into covenant with David, which he maintained and stayed with. He fulfilled everything that he did until his death. He was faithful to the covenant that he had placed and made with David. Philippians 3:9 says, "And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." So, beloved, the devil has no legal grounds to accuse you, because you are now covered with the divine robe of righteousness. Praise God. So that's the first step. Then there are 8 more, which I'll begin to share on tomorrow's broadcast. The first being the exchange of robes. Thank you so much for joining me. It's a blessing to come into your homes, your workplace, your automobiles, and share the word of the Lord with you. And I pray that as we go through this, you will begin to have a deeper appreciation for what Jesus has done for us, what the plan of God the Father was, that he could have many sons and daughters, praise God. It started with Abraham, and he's fulfilling that. And we are, of course, Abraham is our father, Jew or Gentile. We have the same father, if you will, the father by faith, praise God. So thank you so much for joining me, and if you have prayer needs, the announcer will give our contact information. I love you, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh,